In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. Why do you go to school?
To learn.
To learn. Very good. Why is it important to learn? To get an education and get a job. Very good. Why is it important to have education in life? Why is it important to have education? Besides getting a job, that's a very good point, very practical point, you know, to get a job. But what else? Why is it important to have education?
Be successful.
To be successful in the future. What else? Why is it important to have education? Let's try to turn it upside down. You know, sometimes you don't see it until you turn it upside down. What happens if you don't have education?
You don't make money and you don't have a lot, so you can't support your family.
You cannot support your family because you cannot get a good job without education. Very practical, but what else? You don't know what to do. That's another reason. Everything that you said was true. Okay? To get a job, those are very practical. But also, you know, can you imagine how it would be not to know? Not to know why, you know, give me an example of something that you learned in school that is important.
Math.
What else?
How
to read. Yes. Math, how to calculate. What could happen, you know, if you don't know how to add or multiply or divide, or what could happen to you?
Then you wouldn't be able to get a job, because almost
every job requires, you know, to be able, you know, to multiply and to divide. And what else? Don't you think that people could fool you if you don't know how to do math? Right? How to read. Why is it important to be able to read?
So, like, if you're someone who, like, writes down things, you can read what someone else wrote.
Of course. It's so amazing. You know, if we know how to read, we could learn about so many other things. Can you imagine, you know, how our life would be, you know, without knowing how to read and how to write? We take it for granted. But it is an amazing gift. Why do we go to church?
To pray with friends?
Very good. What else? Why do we go to church?
To learn about
God. To get forgiveness for our sins? What else? Why do we go to church? You come, most of you come every Sunday to church. Why do you come to church every Sunday? These are good answers. These are very good answers. But what is the final goal? What do you think? Why did our Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, came down from heaven? Why did He come from heaven? To try to? To try to be more and more like Him. This is why we pray. This is why we come to church, you know, to have our sins forgiven. But the ultimate goal, St. Athanasius the Great, who was a deacon, and then he eventually became a bishop of the church in the 300s, he used to say that God became human to make us divine. And the Bible says that we are created in the image of God, and we are called to become the likeness of God. This is why we come to church. To have our sins forgiven, to pray and to learn about God, so that we will become more and more and more like God. In today's gospel, we saw a man who was blind. He could not see. And our Lord Jesus Christ gave him sight. Is this important to see? This is another reason why we come to church, to see the reality. We think we see. By the grace of God, I'm wearing glasses, some of you are wearing glasses, but we could still see with our physical sight. But God, our Lord Jesus Christ, came to give us a lot more than physical sight, to see the reality of life. Now, talking about this, from what you see in the world around us, would we need more people like God? Why? Why do we need more people like God? Why does the world need more people like our Lord Jesus Christ, like God? To help the people who are bad become better. Do we have bad people in the world? Do we have people who they think that they see, but they don't? They see only hatred and war and killing and doing whatever they want to get whatever they want. Do we have many of this type of people in the world? We do. God is love. Anna says that God is love, and many of the people are not loving. Are we loving?
Sometimes.
Am I fully and completely loving? Am I fully and completely as loving as God is? I am not. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of transformation, to see myself as I am, not as I think I am, okay? Or as I pretend that I am, but as I really am. This is one of the first reasons why we come to church, to face Christ, to face God and to realize I am not like you. This is why we have icons of our Lord Jesus Christ and we place ourselves in front of the icon of Christ. The English word icon comes from the Greek word ikon, which means image. I place myself in front of the icon of Christ and I realize that I am not like you. We like to compare ourselves with the people around us and to think, oh, I'm better than many people. We are not to compare ourselves with people. We are to compare ourselves with God. If we want to become like Him. So this is why we come to church. Is this important? Is this important for the world? Do you want this world to become a better place, a more loving place, where one day we could declare that there is no war? You know that in 1945, or in the late 40s, I can't remember exactly the date, I didn't research this, I didn't plan on talking about this, but it just came to my mind now. But I know that in the late 40s, the United Nations was founded. What was the aim of the United Nations? The aim of the United Nations was, it was started after the end of the Second World War because people thought, you know, we don't want to go through anything like this again. We don't want to have another war, at least like this. So they started the United Nations so that nations of the world would come together and discuss their differences and not have wars anymore. So this was in the late 1940s. We are today in 2019. Do you know how many minutes of no war we had on the face of the earth since the late 1940s? Almost 2 minutes. Almost 2 minutes of no war since the late 1940s. Why? Because people try to impose their will and to take away from other people what they have because they think that they know better. So, you know, Gandhi used to say, if you want to change the world, start with yourself. This is why we come to church. We don't come to church because it is a tradition. We don't come to church because this is what we've always done. We don't come to church because we want to pray to God so that God, you know, will do whatever we want. That's religion. To try to convince God to do what I want. That's taking advantage of God, which is not loving. We come to church. We pray at home. We read the Bible. We do everything that we do in our relationship with God. We do to be transformed. Because we know that the world doesn't need, I know that the world doesn't need another person full of hatred. I know that the world doesn't need another person who hurts other people. I know that the world needs another person who is loving and who's trying to bring everything together, not to divide. Do you want to become such a person? This is why we come to church. And next Sunday, we'll talk about how the Orthodox Church reveals to us that we could be transformed more and more into the likeness of God. Thank you very much. Christ is among us. A few Sundays ago, we started our discussion about suffering. And we started talking about this existential suffering that all of us have to go through just because we are alive and we live in a fallen world. And we talked about how we are called to transcend, to transform this existential suffering, how we are called to transform the crucifixion into a resurrection so that we could not inflict more suffering because we don't know how to deal with our existential pain. And then we started talking about self-inflicted suffering. And today we'll continue our discussion about this self-inflicted suffering. The first type was the self-inflicted suffering coming out of existential suffering. We go through a tragedy, we don't know what to do with it, it leaves deep wounds on us, we are unhealed, and then we start inflicting suffering on other people because we have been hurt ourselves. This is self-inflicted suffering coming out of unhealed existential pain. There is another type of self-inflicted suffering coming out of the desire to fulfill our pleasures. From the epidemic of obesity to broken families, from wars to the ecological crisis that we go through because we want to fulfill our pleasures and desires, this self-inflicted suffering could be avoided at a big scale. As the Apostle James says in his letter in chapter 4, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. What a powerful passage. And how true. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that were in your members? Because of our desires for pleasure, we destroy everything around us. You know, that story of Adam and Eve, disregarded so much by the people, you know, like, just a story. That is the story of humanity. And it becomes more and more real in our days because we want to partake of the creation of God without caring about anything, without caring about God, without caring about the people around us. We just want to partake of the creation of that forbidden tree just to fulfill our pleasures and desires. What was the result? Separation from God. Separation from the creation, separation and division within us, and this is what we experience at a global scale nowadays. The Bible tells us that God, in His mercy, told Adam and Eve, told humanity what's going to happen if we keep partaking of the creation without caring of the consequences. Everything will turn against you. And it does. And it does. The creation turns against us because we don't know to partake in humility and in communion. Wars and fights all over the place because we want to fulfill our pleasures and desires. We know it, and I don't want to debate about this anymore. We know it, we experience it every day. What's the solution? We know we have a problem. I don't have to convince you, I hope, about this anymore, that we do have a problem. And so many people are who love themselves against themselves, you know, by eating too much, taking drugs, smoking, you name it, just to fulfill their pleasures and desires. And the result is what? Destruction of themselves and of the world around them. What's the solution? In the following verses, St. James gives us the solution. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. It is not an easy solution. I want to tell you from the beginning that it is not an easy solution. humble yourself before the Lord. Repentance. We have to repent. This is the beginning of any change. We have to understand that I got on a wrong path. I got myself on the wrong path, and I have to, with humility, to accept it and to humble myself before the Lord and to say, this is wrong. And I have to do something about it. And also, to understand that I'm trying to fill within me an emptiness that could not be filled in with all the things, the substances, the food, the drink, the you name it, that I'm trying to fill myself with. And we know it from our own experience. We think that, wow, if I go to that place, if I go for that vacation, I'm going to be fulfilled. Or if I have this food, or if I have this or that, I'm going to be fulfilled. And we have it. Sometimes, you know, by the grace of God, we have it. And then what? A few minutes or a few days later, we are empty again. And then we search for something else to fill ourselves with. St. James says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Blaise Pascal, the French theologian and philosopher, used to say, this is known in Christian circles in an abbreviated form, which doesn't come from Blaise Pascal. I gave you in the bulletin the abbreviated form, which is, there is a God-shaped emptiness in the heart of each human being which cannot be satisfied with any created thing but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. The real passage from Pascal says, what else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim but that there was once in man a true happiness of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there, that there the help cannot find in those that there are, though none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and immutable object, in other words, by God Himself. Blaise Pascal, in the late 1600s, was saying that there is emptiness, there is an emptiness within us. Have you ever felt that emptiness within you? I did. And I tried to fill it with some earthly joy. And I thought it's going to work. It worked. For a very short term. Minutes, hours, days, you name it. But it goes away after a while. It was very interesting to counsel people who struggle with addictions. It's very interesting to see how they go from a softer substance to a harder one, to a harder one, to a harder one, and they still cannot find what they are looking for. That happens to all of us. All of us are addicted to a certain level. And all of us are trying to fill in that emptiness within us with something. And there is still emptiness within us. Because only God could fill in that emptiness within us. Because He created us, and He created us for Him. And He created us to be in communion with Him. And the sooner we understand this in life, the sooner we'll find our joy that we are searching for so hardly. So, the solution is, in fact, amazingly simple. To say, I don't want to have any earthly desires because I know they cannot fulfill me. I want to be filled with you. Please come within me and fill my emptiness, and I want to have only you within me. It starts with a change of mind and with a desire and a decision to allow God to come within us to fill the emptiness, the God-shaped hole within us. This is what the early Christians did. We are told in the book of Acts that the Christians of the early church, the Christians of that first community in Jerusalem, sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. The word that is translated in English with simplicity is a very interesting Greek word, aphelotis. In Greek, you know, that negates something. Thelotis means stony place, stony ground. Aphelotis would mean a place with no stones, with no rocks, a very smooth field. They live their lives uncomplicated, very smoothly. The first recommendation for somebody who struggles with anxiety and depression is to declutter. Simplify your life and declutter your house. We are told that if we buy more, if we get more, we're going to be happier. We are not. We have been told for decades that bigger is better, more is better. The gospel tells us that less is better. The universe tells us that less is better. Do you know that hydrogen, the most common chemical element in the universe. This is why hydrogen is the first chemical element in the table of elements. Hydrogen. Do you know that from all the matter that there is, and by the way, of the whole universe, there is only about 4% matter that we could touch and feel or smell or see with our senses. Only about 4% of the entire universe. And of that 4% of matter, hydrogen is 80%. And hydrogen is the simplest chemical element. One neutron, two electrons. One and two in one. Three in one. Beauty in simplicity. If we want to find that righteousness and peace and joy within us, in our lives, we'll find it in simplicity. We'll find it in the simplicity of God, because God is very simple. The devil is complicated. According to the teaching of the church, the devil is the one who complicates. God is very simple and very straightforward. And with Him, we have to fill ourselves not with more, but with less, because less is more. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.